Welcome to Zichu Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're in Sechus Psachim Daf Kuf Chav, the 10th parak, Arvei Psachim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rava says, Matzah bezmana zet deraisa umar derabanan. Matzah nowadays is still a mitzvah deraisa, but mara nowadays is a mitzvah derabanan. The Gemara explains that mara is not a deraisa because the Torah requires that the carbon pesach be eaten on matzahs umorim, with matzahs and bitter herbs, which we learn from this, bezman de'eka pesach yesh mara, bezman de'eka pesach leka mara. That when there's a carbon pesach, there's a mitzvah deraisa to eat maror, and when there's no carbon pesach, there's no mitzvah deraisa to eat maror. Regarding matzah, on the other hand, a second pasuk states be'erev tochu matzos, in the evening that follows the 14th of Nisan, you shall eat matzos. Rav Acha bar Yaakov disagrees and says that matzah and maror are both the rabban nowadays, and the pasuk be'erev tochu matzos, in the evening you shall eat matzos, is coming to teach that someone who is tamei or bederech rechokar on a distant road who cannot partake of the pesach still has a chiyuv deraisa to eat matzah. Point number two, the braisa that supports Rava states, Sheishas yamim tochu matzos ubiyom shvi atziras Hashem elokecha. For 6 days you shall eat matzah, and on the seventh day it shall be a gathering for Hashem your God. From here we may infer, mashvi rishus av sheishas yamim rishus. Just as the seventh day is optional, meaning that there's no requirement to eat matzah on the seventh day, so too are the 6 days optional. The braisa explains how this inference was made. And point number three, the Mishnah states, a pesach acher chatzos metamei siyadayim. The carbon pesach makes the hands tamei after chatzos. The Gemara explains that at that point it becomes nosar. It's leftover because it may no longer be eaten. And nosar is metamei one's hands at midrabanan. Rav Yosef says that this mission is only consistent with the view of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, as it was taught in the Braisa that the pasuk states, Ba'achol asa basim b'layla hazeh, and they shall eat the meat on this night. Rav Elazar ben Azariah says that the pasuk states b'layla hazeh on this night, and it states regarding Machas Bechoros, Bavarti be'eretz Mitzrayim b'layla hazeh, and I will pass through the land of Mitzrayim on this night. Just as Machas Bechoros refers to the night up until midnight, so to hear by the eating of the Pesach, the prescribed time is up until midnight. Rabbi Akiva said to him, but is it not said that you should eat the Pesach b'chipazon in haste, which implies ad shas chipazon, that you shall eat the Pesach up until the hour of haste, meaning until daybreak when you'll hasten to leave Mitzrayim. The Pasuk B'layla Hazeh is coming to teach that one might have thought that the Pesach could be eaten during the day, just like other Kachim. The Pasuk comes to teach B'layla hu ne'achol ve'eno ne'achol b'yom. It's eaten at night, but it's not eaten by day. So we see from here that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds that it's an Issa D'Raisa to eat the Pesach after Chatzos. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rava says Matzah b'zman hazeh D'Raisa, Umar D'Rabbanan. Matzah nowadays is still a Mitzah D'Raisa, but Mara nowadays is a Mitzah D'Rabbanan. The Gemara explains that Mara is not D'Raisa, because the Torah requires the carbon pesach be eaten on matzahs morim, with matzahs and bitter herbs, which we learn from this, bezmande ka pesach yesh maror, bezmande ka pesach leka maror. That when there's a carbon pesach, there's a mitzvah deraisa to eat maror, and when there's no carbon pesach, there's no mitzvah deraisa to eat maror. So regarding matzah, on the other hand, a second pasuk states, be'erev tochu matzos. In the evening, that falls the 14th of Nisan, you should eat matzos. Rav Acha bar Yaakov disagrees and says that matzah and maror are both derabanan nowadays. And the pasuk, be'erev tochu matzos, in the evening you shall eat matzos, is coming to teach that someone who is tamei or bederech rechoka or on a distant road who cannot partake of the Pesach still has a chiyuv d'oraisa to eat matzah. Point number two, the braisa that supports Rav states, Sheishas yamim tochu matzos, b'yom shvi atzeres l'Hashem elokecha. For 6 days, you shall eat matzah, and on the seventh day, it shall be a gathering for Hashem, your God. From here, we may infer, mashvi rishus af sheishas yamim rishus. Just as the seventh day is optional, meaning there's no requirement to eat matzah on the seventh day, so too are the 6 days optional. The braisa explains how this inference was made. And point number three, the Mishnah states, a pesach acher chatzos, metamei siyadayim. The carbon pesach makes the hands tamei after chatzos. The Gemara explains that at that point it becomes nosar, because it may no longer be eaten, and nosar is metamei one's hands at midrabanan. Rav Yosef says that this Mishnah is only consistent with the view of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So it was taught in the Braisa that the pasuk states, va'achol asa basa b'layla hazeh, and they shall eat the meat on this night. Rav Elazar ben Azariah says that the pasuk says, on this night, b'layla hazeh, and it says regarding Machas Bechoros, v'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim b'layla hazeh, and I will pass through the land of Mitzrayim on this night. So just as Machas Bechoros refers to the night up until midnight, so to hear by the eating of the Pesach, the prescribed time is up until midnight. Rav Akiva said to him, but is it not said that you should eat the Pesach b'chipazon in haste, which implies that you should eat the Pesach ad shas chipazon, until the hour of haste, meaning until daybreak when you will hasten to leave Mitzrayim. The Pesach of b'layla hazeh is coming to teach that one might have thought that the Pesach be eaten during the day, just like other kachim. The Pesach comes to teach, b'layhu necho ve'enu necho b'yom. It's eaten at night, but it's not eaten by day. So we see from here that Rav Elazar ben Azariah holds That's an issur d'oraisa to eat the Pesach after Chatzos. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Kuf Chaf, and this siman was suggested to us by Michael Raskus from New Rochelle, and the siman is a cook. So here goes. The cook at the Economy Pesach Hotel refuses her maror because it's only a derabanan, and matzah for the last 6 days of Pesach because it's only optional, really infuriated the guests when he told them they must finish eating by Chatzos. Once again, in slow motion. The cook, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Chaf. The cook at the Economy Pesach Hotel, who refused to serve maror because it's only a derabanan, which reminds us, Rav says, matzah b'zman hazeh deraisa u'maror derabanan. Matzah nowadays is still a mitzvah deraisa, but maror nowadays is a mitzvah derabanan. And the Gemara explains that maror is not deraisa because the Torah requires the carbon pesach be eaten on matzah's morarim with matzahs and bitter herbs, which we learn from this. B'zman deka pesach yesh maror, b'zman deleka pesach leka maror. That when there's a carbon pesach, there's a mitzvah deraisa to eat maror, and when there's no carbon pesach, there's no mitzvah deraisa to eat maror. Regarding matzah, on the other hand, a second pasuk states, "Be'erev tochu matzos." In the evening that follows the 14th of Nisan, you shall eat matzos. Rav Acher bar Yaakov disagrees and says the matzah and maror are both the rabbanan nowadays, and the pasuk "Be'erev tochu matzos" in the evening you shall eat matzos is coming to teach that someone who is tamei or bederech rechoka or on a distant road who cannot partake of the pesach still is a chiyuv deraisa to eat matzah. So the cook at the Economy Pesach Hotel, who refused to serve maror because it's only a derabanan, and matzah for the last 6 days of Pesach because it's only optional, which reminds us, the brisa that supports Rav states, Sheishas yamim tochum matzos v'yom shvi atzeres l'Hashem el kechot. For 6 days you shall eat matzah, and on the seventh day it shall be a gathering for Hashem your God. From here we may infer, mashvi rishus av sheishas yamim rishus. Just as the seventh day is optional, meaning there is no requirement to eat matzah on the seventh day, so too are the 6 days optional. The Bryce explains how this inference was made. So the cook at the Economy Pesach Hotel, who refused to serve maror because it's only a derabanan, and matzah for the last 6 days of Pesach because it's only optional, really infuriated the guests when he told them they must finish eating by chatzos. Which reminds us that the Mishnah states, HaPesach Acher Chatzos Metameis Yadayim. The carbon pesach makes the hands tamei after chatzos. The Gemara explains that at that point it becomes noser because it may no longer be eaten, and noser is matamei one's hands mid the rabban. Rav Yosef says that this mission is only consistent with the view of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, as it was taught in a brisa that the pasuk says va'achu es habasa b'layla zeh, and they shall eat the meat on this night. Rav Elazar says that it says on this night b'layla zeh, and it says regarding makos b'choros va'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim b'layla zeh, and I will pass through the land of Mitzrayim on this night. So just as makos b'choros refers to night up until midnight, so to hear, by the eating of the Pesach, the prescribed time is up until midnight. Rabbi Akiva said to him, but is it not say that you shall eat the Pesach b'chipazon in haste, which implies that you shall eat the Pesach ad shas chipazon, up until the hour of haste, meaning until daybreak, when you will hasten to leave Mitzrayim. The Pesach b'layla zeh is coming to teach that one must have thought that the Pesach could be eaten during the day, just like other kadshim. The Pesach comes to teach, b'laylu necho ve'eno necho b'yom. It's eaten at night, but it's not eaten by day. So we see from here that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds that it's innocent the right to eat the Pesach after Chatzos. So once again, the cook at the Economy Pesach Hotel, who refused to serve maror because it's only a derabanan, and matzah for the last 6 days of Pesach because it's only optional, really infuriated the guests when he told them they must finish eating by Chatzos. All right, now it's time for a four blot back Chazara. Daf Kuf Tezayin. So the symbol Kuf Tezayin is a barber giving haircuts. So here goes. The barber, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Tezayin. The barber told his wife, who asked him 4 questions, which reminds the next mission states that they mix and poured for him a second cup of wine, B'chana ben shol aviv, and here the son asks his father. Rashbam explains that the son asks why the father is pouring a second cup of wine before eating, to which the father answers with avadim hayinu, we were slaves of Bar Mitzrayim. According to the Rashbam, there is no need to recite the Manishtana since the question was asked. The mission continues, and if the son doesn't have sufficient understanding, the father teaches him to ask Manishtana. And then it was taught in a brisa, if the son's a chacham, then he asks. If he's not, his wife asks. And if his wife doesn't ask, who shol la'atzmu? Then he asks them to himself, v'afilu shnei talmei chachamim shiyodim hilchas ha-pesach, and even 2 talmei chachamim, or proficient in hilchas ha-pesach, sholin zeh l'zeh, must ask one another. So the barber told his wife, who asked the 4 questions, that originally the Jews had long, straggly hair in Mitzrayim, but left with their hair washed, styled, and cut. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated, Maschil b'gnus, Masayim b'shevach. The father begins Sipur Yitzim Sitzrayim with Bnei Yisrael's disgrace, and he concludes with Bnei Yisrael's glory. And the Gemara asks, what is the gnus? So Rav said, Mitchila ovde avodus gilulim hayu avoseinu. We recite, originally our ancestors were idol worshippers. And Shmuel said, avadim hayinu. We recite, we were slaves to Paro Mitzrayim. and the Shavuot could be understood to be the reverse image of their interpretations of Gnus. According to Rav, the Shavuot would refer to our coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's service, whereas according to Shmuel, it would refer to proclaiming all the miracles and wonders that brought about our deliverance, and the Haggadah contains both interpretations. So the barber told his wife, who asked the four questions, that originally the Jews had a long, straggly hair in Mitzrayim, but left with the hair washed, styled, and cut, while he lifted the matzahs high, up in the air. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Rav Gamliel would say, whoever didn't say these three things on Pesach night has not fulfilled his chiyuv. Rashbam says that this refers to explaining the reasons for these three mitzvahs, and the Rambam says that the chiyuv Rav Gamliel was referring to is the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzim Yisrael. Rav said one must lift up the matzah to show it to the others when reciting the mitzvah for eating matzah, and one must lift up the maror and do the same, but basar ain't sar kachbio. However, one need not lift up the meat when explaining the mitzvah of Pesach, and not only is it not required to raise the meat, but if one would do so, he would give the appearance of eating kachim that was shechted outside the base of Migdash. Daf Kuf Yezayin, so the simran is a gabbai with a lot of keys. So here goes. The gabbai, who uses many keys, gabbai using keys, that must be run Daf Kuf Yezayin. The gabbai, who uses many keys to guide the kehillah in the reciting of Hallel, as they reenacted the crossing of the Yam Suf, which reminds us, is Malchokas regarding the origins of Hallel that we see on the Yom Tovim. Rav Yossi said, his son Elazar says that Moshe ben Yisrael recited it when they ascended from the Yam Suf, but his colleagues disagree and say that David HaMelech recited Hallel in response to his personal experiences. He said Elazar's words are more logical than theirs, because is it possible that during all the years from Yetzias Yisrael until David HaMelech's time, the Jewish people shechted their Pesachs and took their Lulavim and didn't recite Hallel? And also, is it logical that Micha's idol is standing in Bechi and the Jewish people instituted reciting the Hallel? Rashi explains that Bechi is the place where the idol stood during David HaMelech's reign. So the gabbai, he uses many keys to guide the kehillah in the reciting of Hallel as they reenacted the crossing of the Yam Suf, was distracted because he was rehearsing in his mind his "Why did the chicken cross the street?" joke, which reminds us, Abraisa explains the distinction between two slightly different phrases that commonly introduce chapters of Tehillim. The David Mizmor, meaning for David, a song teaches that the Shekhinah rested on David HaMelech and then he sang the song, whereas Mizmor LaDavid, meaning a song for David, teaches that David HaMelech said the song and then the Shekhinah rested on him. From here and another pasuk the Gemara brings, we learn that the Shekhinah only rests on a person mitoch devar simcha shel mitzvah, amidst the joy associated with the mitzvah. Rav Yudah said in the Rav Kenel Dvar Halacha, so it is for words of Halacha, that is, in the teaching of Torah, joy is an important tool. And the Gemara later illustrates this with Rabba, who used to open up his shiurim with the milsa di beduchusa, a humorous thing, and the Talmidim would laugh. But afterwards he would sit in trepidation, upasak shmaisa, and then begin his teachings. Rav Nachman said, v'chen l'chalom tov, and so it is for a good dream, meaning if one wishes to have pleasant dreams, you should go to sleep in a happy state of mind. So the gabbai, who uses many keys to guide the kehillah in the reciting of Hallel, as they reenacted the crossing of the Yam Suf, was distracted because he was rehearsing in his mind his "why did the chicken cross the street" joke that he was going to give to begin his shir on the bracha of Avos. Which reminds us, the Gemara cites the source of the bracha of Avos. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish said, the Torah states, Hashem said to Avram, "Ve'eschel goy gadol, I'll make you a great nation." Zehu she'omrim el kei Avram. This is the pasuk that teaches that we say the God of Avram in the first bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei. "Vavarechecha, and I'll bless you," is the source for saying el kei Yitzchak, the God of Yitzchak. "V'gadol shemecho, and I'll make your name great," this is the source for saying Elkei Yaakov, the God of Yaakov. "Yachol yehu chos min b'chulan," it could be thought that we conclude the bracha with the mention of all of them, "Tamud l'omar v'yeh bracha." The Torah therefore teaches, "And you," referring to Avram, "shall be a bracha," which implies "b'cha chos min v'ein chos min b'chulan." We conclude the bracha with you, and we do not conclude it with all three of them. Daf Kuf Yud Ches, so the symbol of Kuf Yud Ches is Kichol. So here goes. A great Hallel was recited as 26 mega-sized kichels. Mega-sized kichels? That must mean we're on Daf Kuf Yud Ches. A great Hallel was recited as 26 mega-sized kichels descended from the heights of the universe, which reminds us it was taught in a braisa. Revi Gomer is a Hallel, Va'omra Hallel HaGadol. Over the fourth cup, one completes the Hallel and recites the great Hallel. These are the words of Rabbi Tarfon. There are those that say he recites Hashem Roi Lo Echzar. He recites Psalm 23, "Hashem is my shepherd, I shall not lack." The Gemara asks, why is it called Hallel HaGadol? Rabbi Yochanan said, because this psalm relates to the Kishbar who dwells in the heights of the universe and distributes food to every creature. As it says, "Nosen Lechem V'chol Basar." Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, what do the 26 reasons to give thanks and Hodu respond to? They correspond to the 26 generations of humanity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in his world, and he didn't give them the Torah, v'zan osam b'chazdo, and he nonetheless sustained them through his kindness. So a great hollow was recited as 26 mega-sized kichels descended from the heights of the universe upon people being redeemed as they crossed through the sea, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a number of statements based on Pesukim about the difficulty that providing food for people involves. A man's food is twice as that which is endured by a woman in childbirth. It's more difficult than the Geula and more difficult than Kriyas Yamsuf. So a great hollow was recited as 26 mega-sized kichels descended from the heights of the universe upon people being redeemed as they crossed through a sea, as well upon schools of fish who enjoyed this tasty reward. Which reminds us, Rabbi Nassim said, Ve'emes Hashem lo'olam, dagim shebayam amaru, and the truth of Hashem is eternal, was said by the fish in the sea. And this is based on Rabbi Barmari, who said that when the Jews emerged from the Yamsuf, after it split for them, they rebelled by saying, just as we're emerging from this side, so are the Mitzrayim emerging from the other side. Whereupon, Hashem commanded the sea to spit out the Egyptian corpses. The sea complained, Rabbono Shalom, Kulm Yesha Evet Shinoslim Rabu Matana, V'chozim Enotu Mimenu, Master of the universe, is there a slave whose master gives him a gift and then takes it back from him? The Rashbam explains that the corpses were a gift to the sea because the fish would eat them. Hashem assured the sea that he would give it back 1.5 times their amount, and the Kishon Brook would be his guarantor. The sea then spit out the Egyptian corpses, as the Pasuk states, V'yar Yisrael Mitzrayim, Meisal Svasayim, and Yisrael saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. When the debt was repaid through the Kishon Brook swallowing the 900 chariots under Sisera's command, the fish proclaimed, V'emes Hashem Olam, and the truth of Hashem is eternal. Daf Kuf Yud Tes, the Sefer Kuf Yud Tes, is a kite. A kite. So here goes. At the annual kite festival. Kite festival. That must mean we're on Daf Kuf Yud Tes. At the annual kite festival, colorful kites of all shapes and sizes carried treasure chests of gold and silver away from a foreign land. Which reminds us what Rav Yudah said in the name of Shmuel, Kol Kesef Zahav Shmuolam Yosef Likdu Bohiviyu Mitzrayim. Yosef gathered all the silver and gold in the world and brought it to Mitzrayim, and when Bnei Israel went up from Mitzrayim, they took all the money from them, as it stated, Yinatsu Etz Mitzrayim. And they emptied Mitzrayim. The money remained in Eretz Yisrael until the reign of King Rehoboam. Thereafter, it was repeatedly taken from the Jewish people by the other nations and then recaptured by them until it was taken in succession by the Chaldeans, the Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans, and it still remains in Rome. So at the annual kite festival, colorful kites of all shapes and sizes carried treasure chests of gold and silver away from a foreign land. High above the men sitting at a royal feast where the king lifted the Koshel Bracha, which reminds us that we learned from V'yigdal ha'yod v'yigamal, and the child Yitzhak grew and was weaned, and Avram made a great feast on the day Yitzhak was weaned, that Asid Kosh Baruch Hu Asa Su'udu Tzedikim, that in the future Kosh Baruch will make a great feast for the Tzedikim on the day that he bestows his kindness upon the progeny of Yitzhak. At that time, after they eat and drink, they'll then offer the Koshel Bracha to Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe, and Yeshua to recite Birchas HaMazon, and each one will say that they cannot recite the Bracha for different disqualifying reasons. It will then be offered to David HaMelech, who will say, Ani Avarech Veli Na Levarech, I shall recite Birchas HaMazon, and it's fitting for me to recite it, as it says in the Pasuk, Kos Yeshua's Eso B'Shem Hashem Akra, I shall raise the cup of salvations, and the name of Hashem I will invoke. The Marshal explains that since David built Yerushalayim and his son Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, he was qualified to thank HaKadosh Baruch for the major themes of Birchas HaMazon, such as Bris Milah, the Torah, Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, and the Beis HaMikdash. So at the annual kite festival, colorful kites of all shapes and sizes carried treasure chests of gold and silver away from a foreign land. High above the men sitting at a royal feast, where the king lifted the Koshel Bracha and reminded a chef not to bring out the Viennese dessert table. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Eim aftirin akra Pesach afikomen. We may not conclude the Seder meal after eating the Pesach offering with afikomen. Rav said this means shul yakrim chabura chabura, that after eating the Pesach, people should not uproot themselves from their group to go join another group. The Rosh Hashanah explains that according to Rav, the word afikomen is a contraction of the words afikum inaihu, take out your eating utensils from here so we can go and eat somewhere else. Since according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Pesach cannot be eaten two places, the Rabban prevented the eating of any food in another place, lest someone take along some of the Pesach meat and eat it in the second place as well. According to Rav, if one remains in his original place, he may eat other foods as well. Shmuel says it means that after the Pesach, one should not eat desserts, which were called afikomen, a contraction of afikumine, bring out a variety of sweets. The Rosh Hashanah explains that since kudshim should be eaten in the manner of kings who do not eat ravenously, the Pesach should be eaten late in the meal when one is no longer hungry. Eating after the Pesach would suggest that one is still hungry. Tosafot would say the reason is that the taste of the mitzvah should remain in our mouths. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Masechus Brachos, Shabbos, and Erevin. Number 1. Which daf do Malchus, Rav, and Shmuel regarding the meaning of afikomen? That's on daf Kuf Yud Tes. Good. Number 2. Which daf do you learn that the Mishnah that says the Pesach makes the hands tameh if touched after Chatzos is going to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who holds the Pesach must be eaten by Chatzos? That's on daf Kufchav. Good number three. Which shall be when the David Melch will take the kosher bracha at the final suda the kosher bracha will make? Vasilu Ravo. That's on Daf. Kufyut test. Good number four. Which shall be when that eating matzah on the final 6 days of Pesach is only a reshus? That's on Daf. Kufchav. Good number five. Which shall be when the providing sustenance for someone is harder than a woman in childbirth, bringing the redemption and kriyas yamsuf? That's on Daf. Kufyut Ches. Good number six. Which shall be when the Shekhinah is only sure of mitok dvar simcha shal mitzvah, the joy associated to doing a mitzvah? That's on Daf. Kufyut Zayin. Good number seven. Which shall be when the sea was given the reward of 1.5 times for spitting the mitzvah out on the seashore so Bnei Yisrael could see if they were dead? That's on Daf. Kufyut Ches. Good number eight. Which shall be when the Yosef at Tzadik amassed all the world's wealth in Mitzrayim and Bnei Yisrael took it with them when they left? That's on Daf. Kufyut Ches. Good number nine. Which Daf do we Malkos Rabban Shmuel regarding what is considered Maschil Begnus? That's on Daf. Kufyut Zayin. Good number ten. Which Daf do we learn that the 26 Psukim of Hodu correspond to the 26 generations before Kabbalah Satorah that Kadosh Baruch Hu fed the Bria through kindness? That's on Daf. Kufyut Ches. Good, now the three bonus questions. Number one. Which Daf do we learn that Dibrei Torah not Makabel Tumah? That's on Daf. Chabes and Brachas. Good. Number two. Which stuff do you learn about the Dalad Rishuyos on Shabbos? That's on Daf. Vavin Shabbos. Good. And number three. Which stuff do you discuss the status of a ladder that rests against a wall of a thoroughfare? That's on Daf. Nun Tes and Erevin. Excellent. All right. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zirkhu wishing you a great day and great learning.